everything ready for doing church at home. Now, I mentioned that during the Feast of Tabernacles when I was here in Waco, but I've had a special project that I've been working on, which I'm not going to tell you about, but you will receive in the mail, and I'm sure you'll be delighted when you get it. And that has taken up almost all of my time, in addition to working on the Bible and other things here. But we want to get church at home so that we can also have more of a video presence. And in order to do that, we have a man, Stan Snyder. He lives over in Las Vegas. Now, he doesn't gamble. He only goes to the casinos to eat because they have good, cheap food. And he has a company called Image West TV. And he supplies lights, cameras, everything but the action for setting up a studio. And after seeing some of our DVDs, he has been very insistent that if we're going to do anything with church at home and videos and future videos with the church, we've got to have a professional look. And so he's the one who's going to help us set up with a professional look. And I didn't know it, but for around between $50 and $200, you can get the backdrop for any studio, and it looks like you have a full-blown studio. But what it all is, you have a studio, the table is painted green, and I'll have to get another stand for my Bible other than this and paint that green. The ceiling is green, the background is green, side of the wall is green, and then when you do the video, you have the background that's on another video, which is mixed in as you are doing the main video, and it looks like you have this great set. You could even do an outdoor one. I remember seeing a man who did a tour of the Holy Land, but he never went there. It was in the studio, and he walked along, and he said, well, over here and over there and over there, and you'd think he's right there. But he never left the green room. So he looked at our little studio. You've seen it, and he calls me the talking head. He said, Fred, we need more than a talking head. So... You know, you can put a robot mouth up there, you know, the way it is today. But I was amazed at all of those things that they have. He went online and showed me a company where they have 1,000 video studio background mixers that they can put in if you have the green studio. And I never knew that. And so we're going to do that. So the question is, where could we get a studio? So Stan said we need about 600 square feet. Okay. Well, I looked at one that was 400 in the same building we were in. They had 450 square feet. That wasn't quite enough. Besides, someone just leased that. And then looked at the studio that we have, which is really just a very small room, and that's not big enough. So I called the fellow in charge of leasing in the building that we are in, and I said, really, we would like to lease that one for 450 square feet. He says, well, that's pretty well all taken. And then as I was walking down the hall, right before you get to the end of the hall, there's a door to another office there, and this is for the Latinos Alcoholics Anonymous meeting room. And I think that is their freebie to the Red Cross. And so I asked him, I said, well, could we meet in that room? And I thought maybe we could use the studio where we now have and convert that and do the videos in there. So I called him back just before I came. That was on Wednesday, and it was Thursday morning when I left to come here. And I talked to him and I said, you know, what's the possibilities? And he says, I'm working on something now that I think you'll really like. He said, I'm going to ask the Alcoholics Anonymous to move to another office downtown, and you can lease that one for $500 a month. But you have to fix it up and do everything you need to do. So that's just down the hall from where our offices are, which would be really great. And if we can get that, appreciate your prayers, because we need to know by Monday, so appreciate your prayers on that. If we can get that and set that up as a studio, then we will have two cameras, we will have a mixer, we will have everything set up, and leave it set up, have a variety of backgrounds and things like that. But as Stan was talking to me, he wanted to make sure that I understood that church at home, and he thinks it's really going to take off. Because what we want to do is put a 10-minute advertisement onto YouTube. And we want to kind of have it like, what's happening to your church? Why are there so many politics in the church? Why are you not being spiritually fed? So forth like that. Well, the New Testament church began in the home. So now we're back to the future, and you can have church at home. And then we'll start with very basic, easy-to-understand things. And it will be put in a form that it will be downloadable. And we'll use the 20-minute, the 12-minute attention span. Now, I know you all have a 12-minute attention span when you watch television. Because just before the commercials come, you get to thinking about, well, can I get something to eat? Can I get something to drink? And as soon as the commercial comes, bam, you're out to get it. And you're back there, and you know that the first 15 minutes, there are 12 minutes of what they give, then there's 3 minutes of commercials, maybe a minute to start, and 2 minutes in between, or nothing to start, and then 3 minutes in between, and then they go to 20 minutes. And they take that 5 minutes, maybe they run it 7 minutes, haven't quite timed it, and then by the time they get to the half hour one, then you have about 5 minutes, and then you have 3 to 4 minutes of advertising. So this 12-minute attention span, we're going to use in the beginning to get their attention. And then we're going to direct them to the church website, because we intend this to be a feeder to the church website. We'll give them the basic information, basic understanding, and then we can say, for more in-depth understanding, go to cbcg.org. Now, on there, we want to have not only the audio messages, we are going to convert many of the videos that we have into MP4, so they'll be downloadable on computer, downloadable on iPhone, Blackberries, Strawberries, Blueberries, Raspberries, you know, whichever one they are, and you can, you know, have a fruit salad. And we also want to have to develop things where they can be, because everyone today wants it quick and fast. So you have to start out there to reach their attention. You can't go on there and say, welcome to church at home. For the next hour and a half, I'll be talking. Click. And this will all be on the internet. Now, whether we'll ever do anything for television or not, we'll put that way down the road and see what happens. So we have that hope that it works out. And if it does, it'll probably take us 3 months to get everything up and running and get the first videos done. We'll have the videos, we'll have the audios, both. Because I kept asking Ron Carey, I said, how do they get the pictures on the cell phone or the iPhone? And you look at them and, boy, they're good quality. Well, they now have a program called MP4 video. And it takes about 15 minutes to do a whole video. So we will have those on the website. So we hope that this will be helpful and very informative for everyone who has been on the website and uses it, and for reaching out to new people as well. Now, this last mailing, how do you like the foam sleeve that we send the CD in? I think that has stopped the broken ones. How many here received cracked or broken CDs? Okay. That's because of our efficient government way of doing things. So we decided to use the foam ones. We're also in... You got the new booklet, didn't you? You got the new booklet with it? Okay. We are revising a total of 4 booklets. So the next 3 months, you will get a revised booklet in each of the monthly mailings with the letter. We're taking our large booklets and we're making them smaller for 2 reasons. Number one, it's cheaper to mail. Because if you go 9x6, you get a regular rate. If you go the large size, you have to pay a premium. And so you're going to get that. And in the next mailing, everyone has been asking for it. Please, can I have some pocket holy day calendars? Yes, you'll get 3 in the next mailing. Okay, one for you, one for your wife, and one for the refrigerator. Okay. So, anyway, that's pretty much brings you up to date on what we've been doing. And so I'm sure you'll like that special project when you get it. Okay. Well, today we're going to have a special presentation because Brandon Alexander and Elisa Bonert from Canada. And I don't know what the connection between Texas and Canada is. But some way, you know, that works out. So there's going to be a little presentation for them because they are planning on the official wedding to be sometime in June. And I think Wayne Stenhouse is coming out to do it. So because of that, and I think it was 10 years ago, not quite 10 years ago, yeah, a little over 10 years, that Chad and Rochelle were married. Yeah, they were married up near Dallas. I was blessed to be able to marry them. I guess all 3 of us had shaking knees and all this sort of thing. It was really quite a tremendous thing to do. And now his brother, Brandon, is a young man. And he's found a young woman from a far land, if we could put it that way. And so they're going to get married. So what I have done here, and if you can pass these out, okay, I'll give half to each of you and take every other table. Yeah, there you go. You start with table 1-3, and you go with table 2-4, okay? I have the sacred wedding ceremony. No, just pass out so many and let them pass them down. There you go. And so what we are going to do, we are going to go through the sacred wedding ceremony, and let's see what God requires of us. Now, for Brandon and Elisa, this will help them understand what they're getting themselves into. For everyone who is married, this will help you reconfirm what you need to do. Because marriage, let's understand this. Marriage is not a commitment. Marriage is a covenant. And a covenant is far different than a commitment. And today, in the world that we're living in, which is just obsessed with sex, there's hardly any true knowledge of what is right and what is wrong and what it means to be married and what it means to be in covenant marriage with your husband and wife versus what many people do, live together, and they don't know whether they will marry or not. Now, my wife, Dolores, because she can't stand a lot of the TV, she has her favorite program, which is called House Hunters. House Hunters, right? Yeah, House Hunters. No porn, no heavy music, no hard rock. And she gets to see many different houses that they have. But she was telling me how there are two things that people do today. People do not have children, they have animals. And they are more concerned about the space for their animals than anything else. And the other one is that there are many people, couples, who live together, and they are supposedly committed to each other, but they're not yet married, and some of them have been that way for years. So let's look at what God expects. What is the right and the correct standard to receive the blessings of God, to be in contact with God, to have the kind of marriage that God wants us to have? And after all the love and all the emotions and everything, all of that gets all settled in, then marriage becomes a little different than the idealistic, wondrous dreams that people have. So let's begin. So this is what we will do this morning. We will go through this. The sacred wedding ceremony, paraphrased translation of the scriptures. And we will make comments and we will go to different scriptures as well as the ones that are here. Okay? So I have this printed front and back for you. This is a happy and joyous occasion. Marriage is a natural union, but a divine institution. It is has not been instituted by man, ordained at creation by Almighty God. This intimate love relationship was created by God Himself because God is love. And human beings were made to receive and to give love, not only from each other as husband and wife, but each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, each other as neighbors to neighbors, different levels of love and consideration and understanding, the most intimate being that of marriage. And God does not approve what they have in many, many states in America today, homosexual marriages and those kind of things. We know from the Word of God are perversions and are meant to destroy the true understanding of marriage. Because Satan the devil knows that if you destroy the marriage, if you get everyone selfish and self-serving, and if you get them wanting their own way in stubbornness and in carnality, and you destroy it and you cause divorce, then you destroy the relationship that the children need to grow up to be responsible adults. And that's what he wants. That's why the Now Gang and the Gnarls all want single mother, how should we say, single mother support, and they glorify single mothers. Well, the truth is, single mothers are still married. They're married to the state. And look at the obscenity of it, the abomination of it out there in California. You know, there are a lot of abominations take place out in California. Because what happened when the U.S. tilted to the left, all the fruit and nuts ended up there. So anyway, God's way is the way. The others are men's ways and Satan's ways. And it has to be based on love, and love is not just an emotion. Love constitutes of faith, loyalty, trust, honesty, and in the roles that God created us to fulfill. And those are the proper roles because He made us. Now here's a key thing that is lost in everything that the world has concerning marriage. Physically and spiritually, the marriage estate portrays mankind's supreme destiny of oneness with God. Well, that's tremendous because God is a family. And so then you can look at it this way. As when you are married and you bring children into the world, it also helps you to understand how God has to deal with us because you have to deal with your children. So it is a perfect picture of what God wants. And we all fall short of that perfect picture. That's why there's repentance, and that's why there's redemption and all of this thing. Okay. With God and His family in His eternal kingdom forever. And remember, New Jerusalem has no temple because God the Father and the Lamb will be there. And they are the light of it. So it will be this intimate relationship with God forever on a high spiritual plane. Let's continue here. Since God Almighty is the supreme sovereign ruler, He is our Creator. Therefore, it is only fitting and right that we use the laws and principles of God's Word as the fundamental authority which governed this sacred marriage covenant into which you are both now entering. A covenant. Now let me just state this. A covenant is a commitment to death. Once you pledge in a covenant relationship, That is unto death. I hate to use the word commitment because it's so loose and non-binding today. In the beginning, after the Lord God had created Adam, He said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable and compatible for him." And suitable and compatible also means, as you will read in the margin of the Bible, a counterpart, a sustainer beside him. And that is the most accurate translation of compatible for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And God took one of the man's ribs, and from it He fashioned a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, after he was quite amazed, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So that's quite a thing, isn't it? See, God never intended the woman to be a separate authority aside from a man when she's married. Now, before she's married, she is. But just like when we are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, we are no longer authorities to ourselves. God is our authority. His word is our authority. His way is how we are to live and walk. So likewise, when there is marriage, God made it so that the woman is to be in subjection to her husband, but as we'll see, the husband is to love his wife. And then for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So God performed the first wedding ceremony. And then God said, he blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And of course, that's what's happening today. Although, not in the way that God intended. And that creates a lot of problems in the world and society and in people. So when we have the marriage ceremony and we come before God, we are asking God to be part of this marriage union that he created, that he designed. So today, in the presence of these witnesses, now that's not today, but that is when the wedding takes place. We are asking the Lord God Almighty in the name and authority of Jesus Christ to bless this marriage with love, understanding, faithfulness, dedication to each other, knowing that marriage is honorable in everything. So you need to come back to this because every marriage is going to have its ups and its downs. It's going to have its good, it's going to have its bad. And one thing, what marriage does, it can bring out the best in you and the worst in you, and that's where the problems are created. So, as a husband and wife, you need to understand, what does God expect? And if you understand what God expects and requires, and you ask God to bless you in fulfilling that. And I can tell you this from just multiple years of counseling people. The most pitiful thing is a family without a father. Boys and girls need fathers. And also it is true that the father can have more authority over boys than women. And 70% of your juvenile delinquencies come from homes with no fathers. Now, there are some mothers who understand because of their circumstances, they have to raise the family alone. And they are to be commended when they really do a good job and look to God and but what they have to do, they have to exert a great deal more effort because not only do they have to be mother, they have to replace father. And that is very, very, very difficult. So this is the ideal of what God wants. Now, if you do these things, you will have a good marriage. You will want to work out your problem. And where there are difficulties, give each other some space so you can overcome the difficulty and always follow the guideline, which is this. Never let the sun go down on your wrath. That will help you solve more difficulties and traumas and, how shall we say, disputes if you do that. Now let's continue on. Jesus upheld this honor by teaching, he who created them in the beginning made them male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Isn't it interesting? Become. It's a process. It takes years. And you have to work together. Consequently, they are no more two, but one flesh. So what has to be put aside in a godly marriage, let's come back here to 2 Timothy 3, and we will see what destroys marriages in this world and what destroys the society in the world as well. 2 Timothy 3. Here are the things that we are confronted with in a magnified way in this world, especially with all the media, the television, the everything else that you have. And I was amazed, I'm constantly amazed, how many people cannot get along without being plugged in. They have to have their earphones, they have their iPod going, they have their telephone going, they have their BlackBerry going, and When they sit down, they are so hyped up in doing things with it that they have to play their computer games on their phones, you know, text message to everybody. And so that's why I don't have a cell phone. Now you couple all of that together with the now generation. I want it now. I want it here. I want it my way. Sound like some TV ads? Yes. Verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. They're here. Men shall be lovers of self. That is the key problem in the whole world today. Lovers of self. The modern phrase for that is narcissistic. It is called narcissism, and if you have that, you are narcissistic. That means everything in the whole universe in your life centers around you and your desires and your emotions and your whims and your tastes, and everyone has got to kowtow to that. And this is fostered by the media and Hollywood in particular. You can probably think of the names of quite a few people who are that way. Lovers of money. Braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And child rearing comes in when the children come along. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So this is what people are confronted with in the world today and confronted with in their own lives. And living in this society and watching these things on television and seeing how things are, we fall victim to it ourselves, don't we? And I think the epitome of this is, it happens all the time, whenever I go into the supermarket, because I do some shopping at the supermarket, never fails. You're going to see a narcissistic little brat of a kid, a boy or a girl, who mom is trying to shop, and the kid is going, you know, and they don't know how to control them. I remember one kid, I was afraid he's going to fall down. He was standing up in the shopping cart, you know, the place where you're supposed to seat them. He was standing up there, and the mother couldn't get him to sit down, do anything. And I walked up, and I just pointed my finger to him, and I said, "Sit down." He looked at me and sat down. The mother said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." See, so it starts early. Okay. So we are to love each other, cleave to each other, and it's a process. Consequently, finishing the last sentence down here on the bottom of the first column, they are no more two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And too many marriages today are centered around this. Well, if it doesn't work out, I can always leave. And when you enter into that, you are already double-minded and unstable in your ways and selfish in what you are thinking, and you have doomed it to collapse and failure. Because you're not ready to face the reality that life is difficult. Marriage can be difficult. Understanding and getting along with each other takes a lot of love and effort and kindness and understanding and forbearance. That's just the way it is because of the nature of human beings. And if you understand this, that you are not to separate, that this is binding until death, that will make your marriage work better. Now, God, through Christ, gave one escape hatch, which is the next paragraph. Also, he said, whoever divorces his wife except for the cause of sexual infidelity. See, because sexual relations between husband and wife is sacred, is honorable, and is bringing the two together as one flesh, physically, spiritually, mentally, and there is a special thing that happens, especially to women, that they become, their emotions and their hormones work together so that that relationship with their husband bonds them to the husband and the husband to the wife. And if you understand, there is no divorce except for this, but when sexual infidelity takes place, and it takes place because of what? Selfishness, narcissism, lust, greed, unfaithfulness, deceitfulness. And everyone who lies, cheats, steals, commits adultery, they know what they're doing, right? Yes, they do. They don't even have to have the Bible to tell them it's wrong. They know it's wrong. Most people do. Well, some of the new generation today, they don't. So that's the only cause. And if it's not for that cause and you remarry, you commit adultery. Now let's come down to the next paragraph. So we see that it is God who joins a husband and wife together as one flesh. This is from God because he made you. He created you. You're not of yourself. You have nothing you didn't receive. And let's look at another scripture here, which is good to put at this place. Psalm 16. Here's a wonderful scripture. Every time you get up on your high horse, or you hoity-toity about this or that, or you think how great you are, or what you've done, how good you are, whatever. All right? Psalm 16, page 710. Verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you do I put my trust. And that's where both husband and wife have to have trust to God completely. That's why you both need to pray, you both need to study, you both need to yield to each other, etc. Now, verse 2. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no goodness apart from you. I'll think on that. Every time you get to thinking how good you are, whatever goodness you have comes from God, right? Whatever goodness you have is because it's in line with the Word of God. Is that not correct? Yes. It all comes from God because, you see, by ourselves, our hearts are wicked and deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and no one can know it. So keep that in mind. You have nothing you didn't receive, and you have no goodness apart from God. That'll keep you humble. Now, let's continue back with the wedding ceremony. So we see that it is God who joins husband and wife together as one flesh. And what God has bound, because you come before God, you take the name of God, you call upon God, and you ask God to bind this marriage and you ask God to bless this marriage, God is involved, and you cannot turn around and defy God and expect everything to go well. What God has bound, man is commanded by that authority not to separate. What God has bound, only God can loose as revealed in his holy word. A marriage so bound and blessed by God is binding for life. For better or for worse, you have the good times and the bad times. You have the ups, you have the downs. For better, for worse. In sickness and in health. And when sickness comes, you always realize how helpless you are. In want or in wealth. And the way today's economy is going, it's going to be more in want than in wealth. Unto death do they part. Just think, if every married couple in the world had this understanding and attitude and really went God's way, just think, be no adultery, there'd be no fornication, there would be no homosexuality, there would be no lesbianism, there would be none of those things. And it would put the hooker business completely out of business. Now here are the instructions, and it's amazing how few instructions are in the Bible on how to have a happy marriage. Now remember this, happiness is not a state of emotion. That's only one aspect of it. Happiness is the knowledge of God's word and the knowledge of your covenant relationship with each other in the marriage state, so that you know that in spite of whatever may come along, that everything is going to be right in the long run. That's where happiness comes from. Seeking an emotional state of happiness puts you into the narcissistic way of wanting your own way. Now let's continue here. Apostle Peter's writing this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You might want to think on that and pray on that. And also, husbands, remember, when your wife submits to you in this way, you better not have a heavy hand, and you better not be arrogant, and you better not be demanding and things like this just because she submits to you, because there's another half of the equation we'll read of here in just a little bit. Because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, and he is the Savior, deliverer, and provider of the body. In exactly the same manner as the church is subject to Christ, even so, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything in the marriage estate. Husbands, love, I have that in all caps, your wives. In exactly the same manner as Christ also loved the church, gave up himself for her in order that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word through the word of God. For this purpose, that he might place her beside himself. Now notice how that ties in with Genesis, the second chapter. That she is a sustainer beside him. Might place her beside himself as the glorious, untarnished church, not having a single spot or wrinkle, stain or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing, but that she might be consecrated, holy, and completely blameless. Now, if you love your wife that way, I guarantee you she will be submissive to you. Because God guarantees it. Now notice, In exactly the same manner, the husbands are duty bound and under obligation to God to love their wives as their own body. And every wife knows that when the husband gets sick, oh, you're just a little coward. Isn't that true? Oh, I got a headache. Whatever. Oh, you're just feeling sorry for yourself. Oh, Dolores told me that a couple of times. You know. Because no one truly hates his own flesh, but nourishes it exactly as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his very own body. Now, here is a tremendous thing we need to understand.